Welcome, everyone. Welcome to City Light Church Online. I hope you're all doing well. We are in a series called The Empowered Life, and today my message is entitled Empowered by the Spirit. Now, we're going to look at John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. But before we do, I want to tell you that you have a wonderful, incredible, awesome friend, and that friend is the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem is that most of us know this theologically, that the Holy Spirit is a person. No, God has revealed himself as three persons. He's Father, He's Son, and Holy Spirit. So yeah, we can know this theologically, but many of us fail to think and relate to the Holy Spirit as a person. When I first came to Christ, I thought the Holy Spirit was an it, a power, an energy, a force. An old Pentecostal preacher came once a year to our church, and he always referred to the Holy Spirit from the King James Version of the Bible as the Holy Ghost. No, it's hard for us to relate to a ghost. So we can fail to think about him as someone who is close, a person who we can walk with and talk with. So we need to look at the Bible and see what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Now notice, he says, he, not it. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, he's someone so intimate, someone that can be so close, closer than close. A good definition of the Holy Spirit is this: the Holy Spirit is Christ in the Christian. Notice in verse 18, Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Now, who comes? The Holy Spirit or Jesus? And the answer, of course, is the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we know the Holy Spirit is God, but we need to know him personally. You see, because of this, the Holy Spirit is to be to you today what Jesus Christ was to his disciples so long ago. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit is to be to us today what Jesus Christ was to his disciples so long ago. He is Lord. He is guide. He is director. He is friend, comforter, helper. He's our teacher, our mentor. He's so many things. And you're to treat the Holy Spirit as the disciples treated the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that if we don't do this, that we're going to find a barrenness in our life. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Now, what does nothing mean? It means zero, nil. "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Paul said to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of walking and talking with the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, let us follow after him, like the disciples followed after Jesus. Galatians 5:16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." See, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is so vital to an abundant life to a blessed life. I mean, he does things like he makes the Word of God come alive to us as we read it, as we meditate on it. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and it's active. It becomes active because the Holy Spirit makes it come alive as we read it. He helps us to pray even when we don't even know what to say. Romans 8:26. He makes us better communicators. Matthew 10:19. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He quickens. He heals our bodies. He provides gifts to believers. He builds up our faith and he builds up our love. And he gives us peace and joy for our lives that we so desperately need. You know, Paul said in Romans, he said the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, he works in us to change our character. He makes us more like Jesus. He develops the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And he does these things and so many more amazing things for us. Listen to Paul's prayer for the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, fellowship is a word that means that there's a special closeness in a relationship. The kind of fellowship the disciples had with Jesus is the kind of disciples, the kind of fellowship that we can have with the Holy Spirit today. See, they ate with him, they walked with him, they lived together, and they were so connected. Their lives had purpose, they had significance. The same way the disciples walked and talked with Jesus, today we can walk and talk with the Holy Spirit. But today I also realize that we can have problems relating to the Holy Spirit because he's invisible. You know, I've noticed that there's lots of things that people don't understand about the Holy Spirit. See, you can be a Christian a long time, but have a limited understanding and limited experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that God is a triune God. He is Father, he is Son, and he's Holy Spirit. See, we can relate to God the Father because we have a father, or maybe you are a father. Or most of us can relate to Jesus because he's the Son of God. We read about him. He's a person in human form. He's just like us. I mean, he ate, he slept, he lived life just like we do. But then there's the Holy Spirit. John 4 verse 24 says, God is spirit. So you can't see him with your physical eyes. You can't hear him with your physical ears. But listen, you can sense him. You can hear him from within your spirit. His quiet inner voice. He's speaking to you all the time. He's prompting you. You know, so much of our world is invisible or non-physical, like radio waves or wireless or the internet. You can't see them, but they exist. And now they're such a great part of our life, and they're just a click away. My granddaughter Leighton, when she was 4 years old, she asked one day, she asked, Papa, can I watch Netflix? And then she asked me, how does the pictures get on the TV? See, she wanted to know more about how this invisible thing worked. We need to be more aware of the invisible as well. All the Gospels tell us that Jesus came to announce the coming of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, an invisible kingdom, an invisible realm invading our physical world. See, there's a real and a visible, a real and a invisible world that's supernatural. Now, we have the great privilege of living in both realms with the power of the Holy Spirit. These two worlds, they're not separate, but they overlap. See, we can live lives of freedom in both these realms by being led and being filled with God's Spirit. God has provided everything that we need to live our lives in both realms. The Holy Spirit is in our world today, And he's always looking for opportunities to help us. He's looking to advance God's kingdom, God's plan and purpose in this world through our lives every day. You know, I think one of the reasons why we sometimes flounder around in life is because we're not listening. We are not tuned in. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't shout, he doesn't shove, but he whispers. Adrian Rogers tells an old story about two men who were walking down the street of New York City. And suddenly, one of the men stopped and he said, "Listen, do you hear that? Do you hear that cricket? There's a cricket chirping in New York City." The other man said, "You're crazy." And he said, "No, come back here and listen." And they went back and they listened. And sure enough, there was the sound of a cricket there on the streets of New York City. And the man said, "That's incredible. How in all this horn blowing and all this noise and all this chatter and clamor, how did you hear that cricket?" And Wally said, "I'm a farm boy and I love nature and I'm just tuned in to those kind of things." People hear what they're tuned into. He said, "Here, let me show you something." And he reached into his pocket and he took out some change and he dropped it on the sidewalk. And all the people around them stopped at the sound of coins on concrete. See, it's the sound that got their attention. All the other kinds of sounds were going on, but the sound of silver on concrete, that's where their mind was. You hear what you are tuned into. And the Bible tells us that he has given us ears to hear, and he has given eyes to see into the supernatural realm. In Revelations chapter 2, three times he says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says." Now, I learned early on in my Christian life that the Holy Spirit can speak to me. It was one evening, right after supper, I was praying. And as I was praying, I kept seeing in my mind's eye the face of a guy who had been my best Christian friend, but who had moved away to another city. And I hadn't seen him, I hadn't talked to him for over 3 years. Now, right after that, I got up and I told Karen what had happened, and I asked her, "Do you think that God wants me to call him?" And she says, "Yes." And so I found his phone number and I called him. His wife answered. And I said, "Hi, Deb, this is Doug Shimoda." And there was a silence. And I said, "Hello." I thought maybe she had lost, maybe she had dropped the phone call. Well, finally, my friend came to the phone and he is sobbing. And he says to me something like this, "Doug, I can't even believe that you called me. I have been so down. I have been so discouraged. I fell off the ladder at work last week. I sprained my ankle and I haven't been able to work. Everything seems to be going wrong in my life." He said, "Yesterday I cried out to God and I said, 'God, if you're real, God, if you really love me, then please give me a sign. Please get Doug Shimoda to call me.'" He wept. I wept. And then we talked and we prayed and we rejoiced. You know, time and time, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And when I obeyed his promptings, the results were incredible. Time after time, when I did not obey, I regretted it deeply because I know I'd missed an opportunity. See, he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to empower us. And you will be amazed at how much guidance and power there is in your life. The Holy Spirit wants us to go beyond what is possible for us to do in our own strength. He is our helper. He helps us to overcome stuff like envy and jealousy and strife. He shows us our blind spots, our pride, our selfishness. He helps us in our thinking, in our speaking, to do presentations before people. You know, He helps us to overcome bad habits, powerful addictions, like alcohol. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts." You know, using alcohol as an analogy, alcohol can influence your life to ruin. Instead, put yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit and be filled. There's a lot of things we just cannot do unless we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit's power. He influences us, He enables us, and He empowers us to overcome. He is our helper. Now I know that the way some people talk, they say stuff about the Holy Spirit, and it only confuses us more. Some people make out the Holy Spirit to be kind of weird and kind of spooky. You know, their experiences are kind of weird and spooky. And because of the way they present the Holy Spirit, people get weirded out, which keeps them from wanting to know and experience the Holy Spirit the way that God wants us to. You know, some people talk all about His power, but their lives are a mess, and they're all spiritual, and they see stuff like, "God said this," or "God said that," or "God said it was okay to divorce my wife." You know, there's this disconnect between what they say and the way their life is. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. You know, Jesus was never weird in the Bible, but He may make you a bit fanatical. He may make you want to love Jesus more than anything else. He may make you want to talk about Him constantly more than anything else in your life. He may make you love going to church and even make you love the people in it. You know, it's okay. In fact, I think it's good to be a little fanatical for Jesus. The Bible shows us that when the presence of Jesus shows up, things happen. Fear leaves, sickness leaves, blind eyes are open, gifts of the Spirit are given, mountains are moved, miracles can take place. When the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, things can happen like never before. The early church learned this. They learned how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. They learned to operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit and to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. They were a phenomenal people, and they depended daily on the Holy Spirit's power. See, God doesn't want us to do anything until we receive His power. His power, the Holy Spirit, enables us to do all kinds of things that we just cannot do without God. The Spirit provides power and anointing in our lives. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the very words of Jesus, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts 10:38, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So the question, if Jesus needed the anointing, don't you? Don't we? Two things. Number one, we are to be born of the Spirit. And number two, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Let me clarify. When you're born again, yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He recreated you and He is in you. But there's something else He wants to do. He wants to fill you so that you overflow with His Spirit, so you can have power like never before. Not just to change yourself, but power so that you can minister to others at a level you never experienced as a believer. In the classic French film called Jean de Fleur, it's about a small village and the townspeople and a landowner. Now the townspeople in this small village in France conspire against a local landowner named Jean, who had just inherited a plot of land. Now they want to force John's little farm to fail so that they can possess the land. So they sneak onto his property and they plug a healthy stream, a water stream, on John's land. They cemented it shut and then they covered it over with dirt. Now, John does not even know about this nearby stream on his land. But he knows of another water supply and it's over a mile away. So he makes the plans to get that water to his land. He initially makes progress, but eventually getting the water and dragging it from a distant spring becomes a back-breaking experience. Sadly, he never discovers that he already has an inexhaustible supply of underground water nearby right on his property. In the same way, we Christians, we can have an inexhaustible supply of power, the Holy Spirit living right within us. And sadly, some of us are just like John in this film. You can spend your entire life in back-breaking effort trying to haul another supply. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And that later is now, today. I believe that Jesus meant this for every born-again believer. So here's the challenge. The challenge is this. Let's raise our awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's talk to him. Let's incorporate him into our prayers. Let's talk to him. Talk to him as you would your personal friend, your comforter, a helper. And let's listen to him this week. Follow one prompting that will come from him. Maybe he will prompt you to encourage someone, to pray for someone, to invite someone to church online next Sunday. And thank him. Thank him for being with you, even in the tough, challenging times, like the times we're going through right now. And ask God daily to fill you with his power. Ask God to empower you more and more and more, because there is nothing that you and the Holy Spirit cannot handle. Amen. Let's thank God. Let's thank God for the Holy Spirit. Let's thank God for Jesus. Amen. Today I want to speak to that person. You know there's something missing in your life. Today God the Father offers you a priceless gift called salvation, eternal life, an abundant life, and a personal relationship with him. Jesus Christ paid the price. Today, believe in Jesus. Surrender up your old life. Receive this life, this new life that he wants to give you. Romans 3:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then pray this prayer from me. And I promise you, after you pray this short, simple prayer, you will receive a gift of incredible value that will change your life forever, for eternity. So if that's you, you can bow your heads, you can close your eyes. Pray this prayer to him now. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Please forgive me for every sin I have ever committed. And today and now, Lord, I receive you. I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to God's family. And let us know about your decision. Click that little hand below. And then call the number on the screen and we will connect you to someone who will tell you what your next faith step is. What your next step in your faith walk with God and the Holy Spirit is. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad that you could be with us. We will see you next week.